America Weekend.
When the moon hits your eye like a big...
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge along with...
Christina Stoffo.
One of the most interesting things about growing up is if you grew up in an ethnic family.
Yeah.
It's never, ever boring.
No. Boring is not the word.
No. So we came across a story here.
Yeah.
And I thought this was perfect to speak with Miss Stoffo with the O accentuated
at
the end. Reasons why growing up in an Italian family is the best. This from EliteDaily.com. Ever wonder what it's like to be part of those crazy big Italian families? Better yet, ever wonder what it's like to grow up in them? All right. Before we even start this.
Yes.
Just the first snapshot thing you take from this.
My grandmother is one of eight brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Who all have three or four kids. So I have a very large extended family.
That's a small town.
Yeah. You know what it is?
It's a small
town. You're absolutely right.
My goodness.
Yeah.
So for all of that and for everything else, there are certain things that just scream out, I grew up in an Italian family.
Yep.
This takes you through a whole bunch of things. Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
To many non-Italians, Sunday may be a contender for the least favorite day of the week, but to say the word Sunday to an Italian, and it's likely he or she will identify it as a favorite.
Yeah, sure will.
Because it's dedicated to one thing only, family. No Sunday goes by where you don't have at least 20 family members in the house, family and friends as well, and everything else. There is nothing, and the article says nothing, that compares to Mom or Grandma's famous sauce and meatballs. Was that the case in your family?
Yes.
Not the meatballs, the Sunday.
Well, I told you the meatball story.
Yes, you did.
One time. Just to remind all of you, I hate my grandmother's meatballs, but that's the only thing I hate that she makes.
And again, why were they so bad?
I don't know. There's just something about them that I don't like. I would have to drench them in sauce with like a half a loaf of Italian bread.
So they were dry.
No, it was something, the flavor. She put something in it.
Yeah.
That I just didn't enjoy. So it was like my lifelong mission to make a good meatball, which I have perfected,
by the
way. So you
have perfected the meatball.
Yes. But on Sunday in my family, and this is something that people used to think was odd, because we would have dinner at like 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was an early dinner, and everyone would come over, and everyone would bring food. So like my grandma would cook, but then everyone else was bringing also
And the food
other
is available
things,
all day.
And it was there all day
so
long.
So it starts at 1:30, but if someone decides they want to nosh, and maybe that's not the right word to use in an Italian setting, but if you were going to mangia at 5:30,
you can
still do that because the food's out.
Exactly.
Wow.
So it was like a...
It's like a house party.
It was a given. It was a given. Like
Every single week.
You didn't need an invite.
You would just show up.
People just knew that that's what was going on.
Now, can you show up empty-handed or did you have to bring something?
No one ever showed up empty-handed.
It was just ingrained.
And you know, it's something that's ingrained and it's something that has stayed with me now.
Yeah.
Every time I'm invited someplace, even if it's just bringing a bottle of wine,
I bring something
because I feel like it's disrespectful.
But that's good manners. It really is. You're inviting me into your home.
Right.
I should bring something with me.
Yeah.
The next one they have listed here, the cousins.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to have every grandmother having five or six kids and they're having five or six kids, that begets a great amount of cousins.
Yeah, we have a lot of them.
Now, are you close with all your cousins?
I have a very tight-knit family.
Mm-hmm.
We all lived in the same area for a long time. But you know, as people grow and the kids grow up and marry, they move away.
Right.
But we're still pretty close. And it's interesting in my family because there's such a large age gap between my grandma, who's the oldest, and my Aunt Rita, who's the youngest. So, for example, my grandmother had my mother who had me. You know, my Uncle Manny, who's in the middle, had my cousins Amy and Alex, who are a year and 2 years younger than I am. So it's like my grandmother and her brother, just because there's such a big age difference.
Yeah.
So like there's a large array of ages.
Array of ages.
First and second cousins. And
now that's got to get confusing after a while.
Yeah.
This one's a second cousin related three times back from this one. That whole thing.
It's all aunt and uncle cousin. It's not great aunt extended, you know.
Now the next one here that jumps out at me, and you even brought this up once before. What language are they even speaking?
Mm.
Now you told me you grew up in a house where a lot of times the elders would speak in Italian.
Well, they were actually speaking a Sicilian dialect.
Which is even more confusing.
Which is a little bit more complicated than just traditional Italian.
Mm.
And you know what? That's fine because when you go to Italy, if you're in the northern part of Italy, it's a different dialect. If you're in the southern part, if you're on Sicily, it's all different. But what's interesting is that they all know Italian, like the common language. But for some reason, there's all these different dialects. It's very crazy.
And it's amazing how the culture survives when you all get together.
Yep.
Because nowhere else are you going to be able to walk the streets and talk a Sicilian dialect and have anybody understand.
Right.
And that's part of keeping the culture of the family in place.
It's true.
As everything else changes around you.
That's right.
It's the only place where the family can still be truly the family.
It's true. And, you know, in my house, especially with the generation, with my grandmother's generation, they don't speak English first. They speak Italian or whatever dialect they're speaking at that time first to each other. And it kills my older family that I don't speak Italian.
It's almost like you're going off on your own.
You know, but like I blame them. No one taught me when I was a sponge young growing up. Everyone spoke to me in English.
See, maybe it was just assumed you would pick it up on your own.
Yeah, I don't know.
As they did, obviously.
It's interesting, though, because I was around it enough to, like, to at this point understand, like, maybe what they're trying to tell me, but I can't speak it back to
but
them.
You also came along at a time when maybe, like, for your mom, for instance, your mom is not going to be walking around talking in Italian all the time.
No, but she speaks it fluently.
She can speak it fluently, but it wasn't always the first option
English
in the house.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Two family members who speak Italian in the house, by the time you were growing up, they're not necessarily going to be talking in the native tone anymore.
That's true.
See, it's a whole different thing.
It is very interesting.
But I had grandparents that would talk to each other in Polish.
Right.
That was their, you know, when they had something important to talk about, I can remember being there in their house, and they would talk Polish to each other. It's amazing how that happens. And it's because they still have close enough ties to the quote-unquote home country.
Sure, homelands.
To the homeland, but that's what you do.
That's right.
Wow.
You know what else is very interesting to me? And I've realized this as I've grown older. Now, growing up in a large family, Italian, Greek, Polish, it's all very similar. Jewish, large Jewish families. You all have that similar thing going on. What's very interesting to me is that when you get in touch with or you're dating someone who isn't of that background, someone who's
just doesn't get it,
who's American,
right?
You have an American family that isn't close or doesn't have a large extended or, you know, family or anything like that. You realize that what you thought was normal really isn't the norm.
Exactly.
You know, me not having 45 cousins. And you're dating someone that, you know, only has a mom, dad, and a brother, and doesn't speak to the uncle. There's no cousins at all.
They've all moved away from each other, and they've lost that touch. Right.
It's very interesting. And what's also very interesting is bringing someone into the family who isn't used to that, because it is very intimidating. Listen.
All right. So you bring your boyfriend into it. What was his first reaction? He sees this whole thing on Sunday with all these cousins and all the food.
He was scared. Scared for his life. But he was intimidated by it.
It
was different. It was very different. And you know, the first time that I went to a holiday, like Christmas or Thanksgiving with him, it was weird for me.
That's different for you, too.
It was weird for me, too, because it was a very quiet dinner. No one really had like a in-depth, loud conversation going on. And I sat there thinking, okay, this is weird, because you're used to the whole basement. Literally, I know this sounds so stereotypical, but it's true. At Christmas, my house was always the place to go on Christmas. Everyone would come. We would pack 50 people in our basement, and it was awesome because everyone was there. But it was loud, and like you had to speak louder to speak over the person that was speaking loud next to you. Okay, so when you go to another person's house for a holiday and it's not like that, you're just like totally thrown out of your element. So I guess it goes both ways.
Well, it does, and it has to be intimidating, because if you do, you come from a tiny little family where it's just mom and dad and your siblings, and you go into this giant party atmosphere, and it is a party atmosphere.
Yeah, it is.
That really has to shake you up.
Sure does.
It's because it's really, really different. Because well, why are you so close to all these people? But for you, don't know anything else because it's what you grew up with.
It's very normal.
See? And then also you've got traditions. Certain traditions that you carry on. Now, how compelled are you to try to carry on traditions that you saw your mom, your grandmother, and everybody else? How important is that to try to maintain?
You know, there are things that like you want to do. And I mean, this I think can extend to cooking your husband dinner, to something you do on Christmas with your family. I think that it goes like both ends of the spectrum in that in that aspect. But yeah, I would love to give my kids the experience that I had growing up with that sort of environment.
That's the only connection to their past.
Yeah.
And you will, when you have kids, you will pass that on to them.
And it is a very loving thing. Like my family, you know, like that saying, a village raises a kid.
Right. It takes a village. Yes.
That was my family.
In that case, it takes a family to raise a child.
You know,
it's the same
thing. And it wasn't like, oh, like my mother wasn't capable. No. It's like My mother felt comfortable leaving me for a week with my Aunt Fran, or a weekend with my cousin Rosemary, or my Aunt Mary would come pick me up from school.
And like, isn't it nice to have a support system like that? So when something comes up for your mom, and she needed someone,
someone was always there.
Exactly.
Right.
And you felt like there was something to fall back on and rely on.
And it wasn't unusual for me, because if my Aunt Mary or my cousin Rosemary or anyone was there, I was just like, oh, okay. And it was normal for me.
And isn't that what family is all about?
Exactly.
So a lot of these things, it's not just growing up in an Italian family. It's growing up in a close family.
Yeah.
But it shows what's most important, to be able to raise well-adjusted people, to know that it's okay to be close to the people around you.
Do you know the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yes.
The scene when the husband, the boyfriend or fiance at the time, brings his two parents finally to meet her family.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, here's Nick. That's how it is.
Yeah.
It's like you bringing your parents to meet the family is not just bringing your parents to meet my mom.
Yeah.
It's my mom, my aunt, my grandma, my cousins. That's my family.
That's your family. And you'll think of them the same way as you would think about a brother and a sister in another type of family where they don't have that closeness. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Christina Stoffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.